Item 10, presentation from ICON. Colin?
Yeah, so this is an update on the data quality review of our pension administration systems, CPAS and Subledger. So in January of last year, CSERA issued an RFP for a data audit of our pension administration systems. And in August of last year, CSERA entered into a contract with ICON Integration and Design to perform that audit. Through the fall and into the early part of this year, CSERA staff worked with ICON to perform that audit. And today, the president and CEO of ICON, Michael Thibault, is here to present the findings of the audit. And after he's finished with his presentation, Son and I will have some follow-up items as well. So with that, okay. Michael, go ahead.
Good morning. I trust that everyone has a copy of this, the presentation from them. What we'll go over is basically kind of an introduction of who what we are, purpose of the SOW, the RFP that was submitted by CSERA, and then the key data points that we've looked, the mismatch and reports, and then next steps. This slide just here just shows basically ICON's experience within the pension industry. We are the pension leader in industry, leaders in this industry, having all sizes and complexity. The purpose of the project was to compare both the Subledger and CPAS, which was stated in the RFP.
May I ask a question about that? Because it'll help me understand, and it may sound like a dumb question, but I'm going to ask it anyway. I had a client once go through a data change, or I should say a data systems change, and I want to understand, and from my own use, be able to understand what happened in the prior case, which was a new software management system came online. The old one still existed, but it had to be separately, it was archived and it's separately accessed in that instance, and that caused a certain type and kind of problem associated with data retrieval. Here, are you migrating over Subledger entirely and trying to integrate it into the new system such that it isn't archived and separately retrievable, it's part of the system?
The scope of the RP was to compare the key data points within the Subledger into CPAS, and that was just the scope of it.
So is your understanding that Subledger is now wholly migrated and part of CPAS? That's my real question.
It's not. No, I think that's the goal, but you'd have to ask Gail and Christina on that.
Okay. Go ahead.
They're two separate entities right now, and I just compared. All we were supposed to do was compare the key data points between the two and find mismatches and report on those.
Okay, that's great. Go ahead. I didn't mean to interrupt you.
Basically, the data audit was for a single point in time for this portion for the Subledger and CPAS. Within the RP, CSERA basically identified some key data points that they wanted matched, and the deltas reported on, which we did that. And within the key data points of the RP and the key are on the left, and on the right, there's the key data points within our what we call the DQAR, which is the data quality audit report. On this, the data, as you notice, the date of hire was striked out. And that was due to the date of hire was not within the Subledger. And also, the employer pension contribution rate was not in the Subledger. So what we did was we substituted that contribution rate with the member contribution balance. Okay. A match is when a person exists in both databases, both sides. That's been compared. A mismatch is when one doesn't exist in both. Okay, and then during this whole process that we worked with CSERA on, there were certain groups that were excluded from these reports to give a more accurate report and everything. And those were agreed upon, documented, and we moved forward on that. On the detailed mismatch reports, and there's a mismatch for each data key data element that we just covered. There's a report for that. And mismatch by person or by tier. Sestera staff were trained on how to filter and manipulate the reports. Everything? Yes.
Will, did you have something?
Oh, I'm sorry. I just had a question from the last slide. You indicated that some of the groups of people were excluded. Could you give me an example of a group of people that was mutually agreed upon to be excluded to
sure.
have more accurate data?
Sure. Nabil, could you speak to that?
One group was, I think he was on the slide.
Nabil.
We just wanted to mention Nabil Vera is on the phone. He's from ICON. He really handled the day-to-day operations of this project.
Okay.
So.
And that's who's speaking from the ceiling.
Telephonically, from the ceiling. Understood.
Transported magically through here. Nabil, could you tell us what groups were excluded from your reports?
There was an example in the previous slide. It was, if you can go, it said people who were refunded in Subledger and CPAS. So I was checking both ways when I was validating the data points. I would go from Subledger and check, like, for example, the date of birth in CPAS, and then I would start in CPAS and compare the date of birth in Subledger. So there were a large group of people that if they were refunded in CPAS, they don't exist in Subledger. That's one example where if I summed up all the transactions in their account and it was admitted to zero, I considered them refunded and then they were excluded from the report.
Okay. I think does that satisfy? Okay.
Understood. Thank you.
I need to ask, I'm sorry, I got to get context here because I'm missing something fundamental. And so I'm going to ask our own staff a question. So I want to be reminded what the context of this audit is. Have we already completely decommissioned Subledger and migrated it into CPAS, or do they remain separate systems? And what's the ultimate goal of the audit in terms of the future of Subledger?
Yeah. Okay. So so there are two separate systems. So a while back, there was a decision made to go with CPAS, and maybe it would be helpful for me to comment on a usual process is you have the legacy, the prior system that you have running, you decide on a new system, you go through a period of time where you run the systems in parallel,
right.
And then the older system is a system of record for some time period, and then it switches to the new system being the system of record for a little while, and then you do you cut it off and you stop updating the old system and you're good to go, right? So that's a usual process. What happened with Sestera is that some functionality, we went on CPAS, some functionality is processed out of CPAS, but there's still some things being run out of Subledger. Both systems are updated with active information, retired information, we have this going on. So now where we're at is that we had ICON come in so that we could get a good sense of what exactly are the issues with some of our data, and looking and getting a list of, okay, these are the individuals where we're showing maybe some service credit differences, and these are the amounts. Okay, these folks are off by a month, these folks are off by, whatever it looks like. So we contracted with ICON to have them come in and do that comparison. And then from that information, we can sort through and look at those individuals and make sure that the information that is in CPAS, we're good to go with. So then we're able to fully shut off Subledger.
So we have, we think, migrated over all of the service records and data for all of our employees, our retirees, everything into CPAS.
Yeah.
We still maintain Subledger currently as a legacy program with the intention of completely shutting it out. And this audit is testing how well the migration occurred. Is that a fair assessment?
Correct. That would be a fair assessment.
Okay. It just wasn't completely clear to me, and I couldn't. I knew that we had transitioned. I just didn't remember whether we were going to keep Subledger as a standalone legacy system or whether we intended to have it all in one. I would assume the latter. So.
Yeah, no, we definitely want it on one system.
Okay.
And so this is a piece of the puzzle, the decommissioning Subledger plan that we have. And so this is a piece in that puzzle to get to that point. I mean, we need to be on one system. And
understood.
For lots of different reasons.
Okay.
So, yeah.
So we fully migrated from the Subledger to CPaaS.
We have, but we do rely on Subledger for certain data pieces.
That CPaaS does not have, or that CPaaS
has? CPaaS has the information.
Okay. Just accessed differently or reported differently.
Yeah.
Subledger.
Is the goal to get to discontinue Subledger?
Absolutely.
And not to get a context of this one, but are there more steps after this? Or is this the final step?
Yeah, so what ICON has done is they've come in, they've run some scripts, they've prepared some queries, they've programmed some things to look at the data in the two systems to be able to give us the information that we now have. And then the next step is for Sisera to take some staff time, possibly some consulting time to make sure that what is in CPaaS, we're good to go. And then we'll run, one benefit as well with ICON is that they've actually given us a tool for us to actually run some additional iterations of this process. So as we go along and we're cleaning up, we can actually, you know, change effective dates and change some different things in there, rerun some items so we can see where we're at in that cleanup process.
And not along when these changes are being made, there's not a trail, a history behind it that you can refer to later if there's something that goes wrong? Follow me? So if you're making changes to records, will there be a history of those changes kept, an audit trail basically, whenever staff is going in to update or correct something that one system or the other says, you have a point to go back to and
if we want to see what happened?
Yeah.
Yeah, Rosie, any record that's manually reconciled by staff, there's an audit trail for that that management has access to, so we are able to track any changes that staff makes.
Good.
Yeah, and I do want to mention, just because some may be concerned about, well, what about the retirements we've had? What about the active folks? What about all of this? You can feel a little more rest assured to know that as folks retire and as we load folks in, we are doing an audit of their records when we do refunds and when we do retirements. So we are actually validating all of that information. So I did want to mention that.
Okay. No, that's helpful. I just needed some
context.
I understand what a mismatch is, you know, but it doesn't mean anything to me unless I understand the context within which we're talking about it.
Totally understandable.
And the mismatch is in here. We actually, when it comes to thresholds, we really wanted to see the whole range and the whole spectrum of information that we're looking at. So we didn't have them, only look at folks that are 10% and above off, or any, those filters are not in place.
Okay.
So look at any areas.
Pretty much, I mean, very de minimis ones were put in place.
And I couldn't hear your question, but I was gonna ask maybe the same thing. The ones you validated, how were the results?
Once we validated?
When you said you've been validating each one individually as retired, have you found errors?
Okay. No, not in the information that we're validating off of, because we're actually going to PeopleSoft and looking at it.
Right, so I mean, that's a good thing.
And that's, as you can tell, there's, we kind of, if you look at those key data points, this is where we're at. CNC date of birth, retirement tier, date of entry, age of entry, and that gives you basically a rough percentage of. The blue is correct, orange or brown is the mismatches.
Okay. So, you've identified, all right, you're gonna cover
next
steps,
ahead.
I guess. You've got some yellow on that sheet, so
right.
I guess the question is, how do we resolve that?
That's the next slide.
I know.
That's got to be pinching.
There's a little segue there.
And Michael, could you comment on, since you have done so much work for other plans, kind of in a first round review of data, how would our numbers, these numbers compare to
these,
some of the other
These
ones?
Numbers correlate very well. I mean, these numbers correlate with are common within our client base. I'm going to take the CERT total service credit, okay? That could be due to a number of different things and everything, but we typically, when we walk into a organization, we find that anywhere between 65% and 80% of the total service credit total numbers are correct. Okay, 65 is on the low side, which means they have a lot of issues, and 80%, no one's perfect. That's why they hire us. And so if you look through there, we typically want, what we want out of our clients is to get in an overall scale of 95% of data quality. And that's from everything from demographics to final payment. So we want to get to that point. And these numbers, I mean, these numbers are really good. They fall right within, when we walk in. Now, after they get a chance to address some of the data service, total service credit issues, that blue line will rise, obviously, and go from there. So, but yeah, this is typical of what we see. In fact, I would say date of birth is better than what we typically see. Retirement tier, typically better than what we see. Date of entry is typically better than what we see. The next step is, again, to analyze what is causing the total service credit, all those issues. Modify the conditioning, coding and conditioning of the data, obviously rise that, and establish a repeatable process within Cicera. Okay, to like Gail said, we provide you guys a process and to continue to check on it and to make sure nothing falls through the crack. Okay, we need to perform ongoing data cycles just to make sure that his life happens, production changes, we need to continue that process. We need to confirm and document the final disposition of everything. It's not just important just to know why it's wrong, but document, how we changed it, why we changed it. Consider the assessing of all the data items within Subledger and CPAS to make sure you have across the board confidence of decommissioning the sub-ledger. And then also, when you're doing that, think about customizing a data governance. Basically, data governance is rules that surround your data to make sure that it stays at a high level of data quality. And then, basically, at that point, use the data quality audit report. For the next steps within the decommissioning of the sub-ledger. And that's typically, that's in a nutshell where you guys want to go.
Hey, then we talked about when somebody deceased, we get a record of it, and I know it was a paragraph with P, but I remember we talked about it. Was any of that done, any kind of auditing on that?
No, not within the scope of this RFP.
Any other questions?
So I keep clinging to the date of birth thing. So those values there, are they majority of those like null, like differences? Are they decimal differences? Are they like what are the majority of the difference statistically in terms of what we're seeing in terms of the mismatches?
So we'll let Nabil take that one, and then I can explain maybe a little bit more about why it's happening if he goes ahead and gives you an overview of it.
Thanks, Colin.
I think there were three main patterns that we were noticing. One was that, and this was a smaller group of people, that I had a date of birth in Subledger, but I couldn't find their person record in CPAS. So then the date of birth was, I just couldn't find the person, so I couldn't validate their date of birth. And then the other one was where they have, within CPAC, they have duplicated records. And so they'll have one record in subledger with a date of birth, but then there's two person records with the same tax ID in CPAC. And within those two records, the date of birth are different. So I get a match on one record between subledger and CPAC, but then I don't get a match on the second record. I think those were like the main patterns.
Excellent. And I actually said date of birth, I know that, but I actually was clinging on to the 25% mismatch of the service credit.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So does that fall into the same?
Oh, yeah. So, no, service credit was a little bit different. I think when I sent Colin the draft report, what he had noticed was that almost a third of them, service credit was off by 1 month. And so we kind of made an assumption that it was off by 1 month because of a timing issue where I was hard coding a date in the CPAS script to have a cutoff of 1/31/2017 to align it with subledger. And so that 1/31/2017 date may have excluded a service record month. So that was almost a third of those of that.
So essentially it could be like off a leap year calculation or something like that in terms of the coding?
Basically it's probably off the snapshot that we had, because one's in January, one's in October. Okay, so that my adjusted it. And there's a lot of things that impact total service credit. Could be, as far as pay periods, pay periods, start entry date. There's, when you look at total service credit hours, there's a lot of things that go into it that make up that.
Right, sick leave, buyback time.
Exactly.
A lot of different things.
Yeah.
Got it.
And there was one other issue, which was, I think this also affected a lot, which were the way I was calculating service credit, I needed the tier of where, if they were transferring service, I needed to know from what tier to what tier they were transferring to. And a good amount of them had an unknown value in the tier. So if they have an unknown value, I have no idea where to add and subtract the service. And so that was also a pretty big chunk of the 25%.
So in some cases, with total service credit, the ultimate balance for a member may be correct, but it's in different buckets currently, and we left that stuff in the mismatch report just to make sure we track it and resolve it.
Did the member and employee contributions affect anybody having to pay or get a credit back?
No, not that we've seen from this. And again, like Gail said, we make sure that we audit members anytime there's a transition, like a retirement or a refund, something like that. So we're checking in both systems of record at those points in time.
So you had the mismatch on the member employee contributions. Was that, member contributions, was that a that we did or did not collect, or just wasn't accurate what we did or did not collect?
Again, it can be off, and that one's very similar to, Nabil, correct me if I'm wrong, but the issue on that one would be similar to total service credit, because you're going to look at what the amounts are in the different buckets as far as different tiers. So a lot of that will be related to a mismatch of where the money is in one system record versus where it is in another. The balance might be correct for the member in both systems, but it shows that it's in one tier here and a different tier, or a null tier in the other location.
Right.
So in terms of, we're just doing an audit of data to data, right? So we're not, with all these mismatches that are flagging, we don't have the intent, or there's no plan to go back to actuals and do an audit on actual service credit because we're of data entry, meaning is there an error in data? This is not a data entry. This is essentially just data to data. So if we flag for a mismatch, there's going to be plans between to reconcile those two, right?
That's the expectation. We're kind of in the early stages, but that is the expectation, okay, that it is correct, and it's an issue, a matter of reconciling it between the two systems right now.
Is there any, I guess this would be a compliance question too, but is there any audit of data entry to actual ever going back in terms of percentage, taking a sample and looking at the actual records? See if there's a, I know this is not an ICON question, but do we ever do that where we actually go back and audit the data that's entered from history and look at the records, the actual paper records, to see if they're accurate, there's no errors? Do we ever look at that?
It's a good question.
Those two would be the same though, right? If you entered it incorrectly, it's incorrectly in the database.
Would Brown Armstrong do that in their audit?
I would assume a sample it would.
Yeah. I mean, they, and obviously whatever Brown Armstrong does is on a sampling type basis.
Granted, but there again,
It
is being audited. I would imagine the source record with our own records
here. I'm sure that's part of their work plan.
If not, it's probably a good idea for the audit committee maybe to.
Well, I thought they were doing it, but.
Maybe they are.
No, I think they are. Yeah. I think I remember briefly discussing that.
Yeah, and we can talk to them a little more about what it's
letters there. To the employers.
Right.
So I was thinking, yeah.
Yeah, they send like 40, you know, or so letters, and they test it. It would be cost prohibitive to, you know,
do everything. To do a
sweep. Right. You know, so right. They sample, and based on the responses, they dig into it further. If they get a whole bunch that are going on, you know, wrong, then right. They know something's wrong, and then they'll alert the audit committee, say, we found in our sampling this many trouble spots. And so.
Right.
That's what the scope of the services do.
And then that would also be, everything that you're discussing right there would be part of like a data governance plan.
Right.
That you set up steps that you take to ensure that going forward you know how to handle it, how to check it and reconcile it and validate it.
Okay. And so we mentioned that we'd kind of summarize some next steps as well. Again, Gail touched on this, but this is really the first step in a longer process of decommissioning subledger. ICON has identified a group of what they call the DQCPs or data quality checkpoints, and these are things that we can clean up prior to cleaning up the mismatch reports. These are things that may touch all of the mismatch reports, so if we fix those, you may see an increase in the matches for across the boards for all the different data points. Once we do that, then we can start looking more at the mismatch reports themselves, and then we can kind of look at our staffing and consulting needs at that point. We mentioned briefly updating the snapshot that we have. For this audit, we looked at January data from last year, but it was just basically a point in time. You know, we took a snapshot of subledger in January, and then we took a snapshot of CPAS in October, looking back at January data. And ICON has kind of given us the tools to update that, and San can give you a little more information on that.
Yes, I think the department has been working side by side with Member Services and ICON for this project. We responsible for all the technical requirements, security access, data conversion, and one of the tools that we is very helpful for us from ICON is to audit the current state of data quality, or it's just a script. For example, it's like a mismatch script, a DQCP script. We can use this script to take not a snapshot of our data point and regenerate all the report as needed. And this tool very helpful for the next step in data cleaning process. And our program are very confident knowing how to use this tool.
Cool. Clarification on when you say cleaning up. So are you correcting data in CPAS that may be not matching what's in subledger? Is that what you mean by that?
That's the point we're not quite at yet. And again, some of this will probably be programmatic things that we may be able to fix large chunks of data all at once. And then eventually there may need to be some of that kind of individual reconciliation of member records.
Just going back to Will's question earlier, I mean, if the two don't match in a record on some data point, mm-hmm. then how do you know if either one is correct? That you're going back to the source document to see if one or the other is correct before you change?
Basically, we can do that, yeah, because we have access to all the personnel files or the, in PeopleSoft, the PeopleSoft records for county employees. And then we have a lot of source documentation imaged as well, so we can go back to that.
But is that the plan then? Is that one of the next steps?
I don't think it's practical to do 25% of all of our records.
Right.
Right?
right? Yeah, we hope to get there without doing that level of fine tuning.
Well, we're not going, on the flip side of that, we're not going in and just doing blanket, match subledger.
Service credits. If you're off by 1 month, that can make a difference in your pension.
Yeah.
Payroll.
Yeah.
You know, so I'm thinking for myself here now. So I've been getting your newsletter and noticing that doesn't seem right. It seems like it's a month off, and I'm going to talk to you about this afterwards. But anyway, but I'm wondering, the 25-plus percent members, if there is a short or an overage on service time or service credit in one system or the other. I assume you're using CPAS now as your main output system, or...
There is some functionality we're still utilizing in subledger.
Yeah.
But we're not going back and changing, doing anything with a subledger. The goal is to fix CPAS so we can turn that off.
Okay.
And so some of these people are in these mismatch reports also, not because the data is wrong, but because they're not supposed to be included in the report in the first place.
Okay.
They may exist in one system and not in the other. So, for example, somebody's retired, and we're still, for some reason, pulling their information out of subledger. Well, they're not supposed to be in subledger, but they're still appearing on this report because they are in subledger for whatever reason. There's nothing incorrect about any of their data. It's just that they haven't been flagged and removed in subledger.
Okay.
Their account has been cleared out. They've been retired, but they're still showing up here. And we think that there may be many people that fall into a category like that where we can clear them out on a large scale.
Well, that brings another point, I think, Colin. So the subledger / CPAS is for active members. What are we using for retirees in this case?
So CPAS is retirees, subledger is active and deferred.
Okay.
But that information is in CPAS as well.
Will all of it be in CPAS at some point where subledger will be totally decommissioned, turned off?
Subledger, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's the goal. And CPAS does maintain active, deferred, and retiree information. But for certain things, we look to subledger for the active, deferred,
okay,
absolute information.
It's helpful.